On occasion, I enjoy watching Who Do You Think You Are? Recently, I rather enjoyed an episode tracing Dame Judi Dench's ancestry. In this episode, Dame Judi Dench, who loves Shakespeare and has played the roles of Ophelia in Hamlet, Juliet in Romeo and Juliet, and Lady Macbeth in Macbeth, is delighted to find that a maternal ancestor of hers had links to Shakespeare. She was overjoyed to find out her love for Shakespeare runs in her blood. Having enjoyed this episode, I later looked for another episode on catch-up television. This time, I chose an interesting episode that traced the ancestry of former footballer and sports presenter Alex Scott. In this episode, Alex, who didn't know her father but had a close relationship with her paternal grandmother, traces her Jewish Jamaican ancestry. You may have watched this episode, but unlike Dame Judi Dench, Alex is shocked by what she finds out about her ancestry. Alex's family on the Jamaican side were involved in the slave trade. Before coming on the show, Alex had tried to prepare herself for finding out that somewhere in their past and her past ancestors had been slaves. She had tried to prepare herself for shocking revelations of how her ancestors had been abused at the hands of slave masters. But Alex was not prepared to discover that her great-great-grandfather was a slave owner. Not only was her great-great-grandmother a slave, but her great-grandmother was only one of the children born to the slave owner by more than one slave woman. Suddenly, for Alex Scott, slavery and all it means became very real. Alex discovered that not all slave owners were abusive masters. Alex's slave owner, great-great-grandfather, had provided well for Alex's great-great-grandmother in his will. Slavery has been documented since just after the flood, and sadly, slavery remains with us today. Every year, I am required to do a modern-day slavery course, not just a refresher course, the whole course, to refocus the mind on the realities of modern-day slavery. All aspects of slavery make us uncomfortable, and with good reason. We associate slavery with servitude and abuse, poverty and hardship. It would be difficult to imagine slavery in the context of love and security. Slavery doesn't bring to mind any positive thoughts or images, yet there are countless references to slavery in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Cambridge Dictionary defines slavery as the action of being legally owned by someone else. Let's take a look at what some Bible references say regarding slavery, starting with the scripture reading this morning and its wider context. Please turn with me to Romans 6, verse 15 to 22. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity, to every ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Okay, there's a lot in that passage. But today we are only going to look at this passage regarding slavery. Let's take the passage apart. If we agree that as Christians there are always only two choices, right and wrong, good or evil, then verses 15 and 16 tell us there is no middle ground. These two verses tell us we are slaves. We are either slaves to sin or slaves to obedience. No one gets the free man status. Verses 17 and 18 reinforce that we are slaves, either slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. Verse 19 asks us to give ourselves as slaves to righteousness with the same dedication and commitment we previously gave ourselves as slaves to sin and ever-increasing wickedness. In verses 20 to 21, Paul asks, what benefit did we receive by being slaves to sin? It leads to death, and we are ashamed of our sin. And finally, in verse 22, it tells us that we are set free from slavery to sin because we have been bought by Jesus. We now have a new master, and we are slaves to God. We have gone from one master to another. We are not our own. You may have picked up in previous talks that music, and specifically songs, has a special way of speaking to me. Often a song can convey a message or share an idea quite vividly. The song Make Room by Casting Crowns is a song I have sung countless times. But this last festive season, it stuck in my mind. It didn't stick in my mind like a song that goes round and round until you desperately try to replace it with something else. Or does that only happen to me? It kept coming back to me as though I was meant to take a closer look. The words of the refrain read, "Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart. When you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory." And there, right in the last line, it is, "Trade your dreams for his glory." As some of you know, I've had a specific dream for what feels like a lifetime, something my heart truly yearned for. I chased this dream with full commitment, being more dedicated to fulfilling this dream year after year. There was always something about this dream that seemed to remain just outside my grasp. Once, I even briefly held it in my hands. I looked at it from all angles. I breathed it in. I could smell it. I could taste it. And then it slipped through my fingers, out of reach once more. God closed the door on my dream and very obviously gave me something I had not asked for. Like my seeming lifelong dream, I know what God gave me was temporary. Something else I needed to do with as much dedication as I had for my lifelong dream. Was God asking me to give up my dream for his glory? Is being a slave to God being willing to give up my dreams for his glory? From another song, one we all are familiar with and in fact just sang, "Have thine own way, Lord." The line reads, "Have thine own way, absolute sway." What does absolute sway mean? It's not language we use today. Once again, I consulted Professor Google. Absolute sway means something or someone has great power, control, or influence over an individual. Professor Google's definition of absolute sway sounds very much like slavery. Being controlled by someone that has great power and influence over one. Psalms 139, verse 5 reads, "You hem me in before and behind. You lay your hand over me. I cannot move forwards and I cannot move backwards. I feel as though I have no choice." But did David write this verse because he felt controlled and that he had no free will? David wrote this verse because he saw that it was God's protection and his love that hemmed him in on all sides. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. That comes from 1 Corinthians 10:31 and 1 Peter 2 verse 16. Living as you want, as though you belong to yourself, is difficult. No, impossible, if you are living your life to the glory of God. The concept of God's slaves is repeated a number of times in the New Testament. And Wikipedia says, Jesus' teaching on slaves is metaphorical, spiritual slavery. I would like to suggest that spiritual slavery doesn't exist in the absence of actions. Ephesians 6, verse 5 and 6 tells how slaves should act towards their earthly masters with respect and fear, serenity of heart, doing the will of God from the heart, wholeheartedly. Titus 2, verse 9 and 10 tells slaves to be subject to their master in everything, to please their master, not to talk back, not to steal from their master, but to be trustworthy in all things. Could these be the characteristics of a slave to God? Respect, fear, serenity of heart, wholeheartedness, being subject in all things, not talking back or debating to satisfy my own will, not stealing but being trustworthy in all things. It may set you apart. God has given us the gift of choice, the freedom to choose who we will serve. Therefore, we are responsible for who and what we believe. The two choices from before, good or evil, right or wrong. Everything God offers us has a beginning in him, a blessing of peace, the assurance of never being alone, and a perfect future. Everything the world offers starts with self at the center, serves self throughout, and ends in eternal death. Psalms 139, verse 15 and 16 tells us how we all began. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. John 16, verse 13, tells us of the peace. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And Isaiah 32, 17, and the effects of righteousness will be peace, and the results of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. I love Matthew 28, verse 20, because it reminds us that God is with us always. And the perfect future? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's Jeremiah 29, 11. I'd like to ask, as a Christian, what does spiritual slavery look like with flesh on? Is it respectful? Does it serve God with sincerity of heart, wholeheartedly, being subject in all things, not seeking my own will, but being trustworthy in all things? Am I, are you, willing to be a slave to God, even if it means giving up your dreams for his glory? Father, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your gentleness and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honor you in our thoughts and words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Amen.